So thank you for the opportunity. Gene, especially, thank you for asking. I tell you, sometimes you get to doing things and you can almost forget. You get in such a routine or such a groove, you almost can forget, not forget, but it can just become routine and you just do those things. But because, when Gene asks, of course, I'm not really a speaker, and so I have to really prepare and write notes, and then I have to write them again and write them again and write them again. But anyway, with all that being said, it kind of made me, just look back into why do missions, why do me and my family, why does our church, why do we as Christians do missions? So with a lot of prayer and looking into the Word, this is what I've come up with to share with you guys, and I do believe it's of the Lord. I will share toward the end and maybe through the middle of it some things that we've done, places we've been, and again, as Gene said, it's not about us, it's about Him, and I just want you to remember that everything that we've been able to do is only because of Him. And really, it's what He's called us to do. We sometimes think of missions, and I did before, as just certain people do missions. But we've all been called, to be missionaries. So I'm going to share with you here what the Lord's laid on my heart, and I just pray that it does bless you. So He kind of introduces, but my son Cole, my daughter River, and my wife Ronnie are here with me, and I'm thankful for them. We are good friends with the other speakers that will be here. We go to church in different places, but we've been on many mission trips with Henderson and Julie, and just love that they love the Lord and share their time, and He'll share more about that. But one thing as I got started in studying, I said, what is the definition of missionary? So I just looked it up in one of the dictionaries. I can't even remember which one. It says a member of a religious group which is sent into an area in order to promote its faith or provide service to people such as education, literacy, social justice, health care, and economic development. And I don't know that I've ever just looked up a definition of it, but that does. It just fits the definition of exactly what we do, go and serve. So for me personally, I've been in church for a really long time, I'd say all my life, but I was in and then drifted to some and then come back. But anyway, as the Lord, I've heard about missions and heard missionaries just about all my life, and but I never really got involved. I thought that was for others. Well, when it really came to life to me is when I was asked to go on a mission trip with our church, and we were going to Haiti, and I said yes, I would go, and got over there, and oh my goodness, I'd never really seen need, physical need until we got over there. Spiritual need here, and there's spiritual need there as well. They have true physical needs there that we sometimes cannot even comprehend in our minds. And so that really brought to life to me the need that's out there in the world, physical and spiritual need. And it helped bring the spiritual need back here when I come back and realize, Lord, that spiritual need is just as bad in America. Maybe the physical need is not quite as bad, but the spiritual need is there. So, the thing there was just obedience. Matthew 28:19, and we all know what it says, but I'm going to read it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In obedience, it says, I was waiting for, God, show me where you want me to go. What do you want me to do, And I think, God was like, well, I've already told you I want you to go. So just go, And I did. And that's what I think that for my spiritual eyes to be open was just to make that step of faith and to go. And when I went, it's like it all started coming together. Spiritual eyes were opened, ears were opened, and I could see and hear things that really I was kind of blind before, because actually, you know, God had already called us to be missionaries and go, and finally went. And when I took that step of faith and went, then it just become real to me. And I'm so thankful. So I just want to encourage you, if you've never been, look, missions happens right here, Walmart, Haiti, wherever. But if you've not intentionally made where you're going a mission trip, just remember to do that. And that will, I do believe it will encourage you as you go along your way to realize, just see what the Lord will do there. So he said, go and make disciples. So I'm going to talk about where do we go, and why do we go, and what do we do when we go. Just three quick things that just kind of, it kind of helped me as I went along, and hopefully it'll help you too. But, where do we go? Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria, and Samaria and all, and to the ends of the earth. So where do we go? We go home and we go abroad. We go where the Lord leads, right? And sometimes we just have to take that step of faith and go, and then he leads as we go. That was just amazing to me, that I kept waiting, I don't know, for the Bible to tell me, or a word from the Lord to say, all right, you need to go here. And we all know that most time God doesn't speak like that. He kind of, as we are obedient, he shows us and opens doors, and that's where we go. So, as young and immature in the faith, that's what I was waiting on. But I'm thankfully opened my eyes to see that. So why go, you know? Well, as I started growing in the Word and seeing, listen to other missionaries and what they do, I thought about Romans 12:1, where it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we're to be a living sacrifice. And sacrifice is to surrender or give up something for the sake of something else or someone else. And so, you know, God has told us that we're to be a living sacrifice, not sometimes, but all the time. And so, as I read verses like that, I was just like, God, he just kept dealing with my heart to do more and more missions. And I say these things that, you know, about me, but I hope that encourages you guys, because sometimes I would hear folks talk about things like this, and it's encouraging, and maybe, you know, get someone to take that step of faith you've been kind of holding out on or whatever. And then in Romans 12:13, also notice, you know, as I started being obedient and reading scripture more, that God, all throughout the Bible, God talks about how much we're to love others. And it's everywhere you read, you'll find something about loving others. And in Romans 12:13, it says that share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. And die to self, do for others, die to self. It's all throughout there. And the more you read it and obey it, the more you realize just that it's the place God's created us to serve. That's what we're created to do. And when we're doing what we're created to do, that's when you experience a peace that surpasses all understanding and the contentment that you'll get no other way. You know, life is good, but life is real good when you do it God's way, right? When we do it his way. And he's given us an instruction book to do it. And for so many years, I tried to do it my way instead of his way. And there was no real peace and joy that come from that. So, you know, why do we go? Where do we go? Why do we go? And then and another scripture on love before I jump ahead of myself. It says, John 13:34 says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. And when we, you know, the more we realize just what God has done for us, you can't help but go. You can't help but to do for him, you know, just share with others. And how do you do for God? You do that by loving others and sharing with them. And that's one of the best ways we can do it, is to be a witness. And then, you know, what do we do when we go? you know, we meet needs, right? We go and we meet needs. That might be physical needs. It might be spiritual needs. But we go to help others, love others, and to meet needs. In John 9:7, it says, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." And so the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Jesus didn't preach a sermon to him first. He didn't do a lot of things. He met his need. And when we meet needs, a lot of times, you know, we're going to get folks' attention more when you've done something for them. You showed them that you care and that you love them. They're a lot more likely to listen to you about the Lord if they don't know him or whatever. So meeting needs, that's how Jesus did it, right? And we should follow that wonderful example of doing that. So just now, I just wanted to, that's kind of what the Lord laid on my heart there as far as that goes. And a quote that that John Piper says that just really has always stuck with me for a long time. It says, "God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him." And we're most satisfied in him when we're doing his will, right? That's when we're most satisfied in the Lord, and so he's most glorified in us. We're the light. You know, we talked about light earlier. I think Marcus read something there. We're the light on the hill that shines forth, and we're, that light shines brightest when we're right in the middle of God's will. So we get there by being satisfied in him through his word and obedience. let's see. Sure not forget anything. So once you start something, a lot of times, you know, if you enjoy it, and you will enjoy missions, if you've never been, you'll go and you'll enjoy it, and you want to go all the time then. It's like, wow, you know, how can I get another week off of work? Can I take another week off so I can go? You know, you want to go and serve. In fact, so much so that we have turned a lot of our vacations into to serving. We go and we like to camp, and so we've turned that into a place to serve. You know, a lot of the places we go, of course, we vacation too. We play, but we also serve. And I'm going to tell you about a few of those places that we go, some things we do locally. And everything I talk about is not just me personally. It may be our church or someone, you know, within our church or friends. So, and I'll kind of try to elaborate a little bit on those. But so local and local places that we serve, and this is our church-wide, our VBS. VBS at Altamaha Hall Baptist Church is where I go to church, and it's big. We have a lot of kids come to VBS. We do it in about the first or second week the kids get out of school, and it's big. A lot of kids come. A lot of seeds are planted, and normally there's several salvations that come from that. We have had stories in the past of, kids coming to VBS with a friend, and now the parents are there, the families are there, all because of, you know, the seed being planted in that child. The parent come to watch the child be baptized or sing at the end of the VBS service, and now the family comes, there's deacons there because of VBS, you know, the Lord, you know, but VBS brought the kids there. So that's a big mission field. Y'all may do that here, and if you do, you realize, you know what I'm talking about. We do a living nativity, and I'm going to put a plug in for that just so you guys will know, and we'd love for y'all to come out. And that's November 30th and December 1st. That's not this coming Thursday and Friday, but the next. And that's at the JC Fairgrounds, and our church puts on a living nativity there, and you get to come and see hopefully what it looked like back in Jesus' birth. So y'all come out and look at that. That's not only a mission for us, it's a mission for you guys when you come, because there may be someone there that has questions, and you may just be the one that they get to run into and talk to. So that's a mission for the whole community there. And folks come from all over to see that. So, that's just a big thing. We have a missions committee in our church. Goes right along with the harvest. We felt like when our former pastor, Jack Lee, retired, he was big into missions. He did a lot and handled most of it. When I say handled it himself, he kind of organized it, and then he had the workers come along. So when he retired, our you know, it was decided that we probably needed to get something together that we could continue that work, and it has done well. We have a missions committee that does a lot of what you guys are doing. It plans out things, handles the income and puts it in the right places. And, and we have a need in the community, they come to the missions committee, and then we decide if that need is, if we can do that or whatever. So that's wonderful that y'all do that here. And I think most. Also, another local mission we do, and this is one way we support our missions, is a Boston butt sale. And I didn't come to, in fact, that it's the sale's over. So I just come to just tell you how one way that we do raise money there is to sell those Boston butts. And I know Gene, participates in that, and maybe some of you others that I don't know, but thank you if you do. That money goes to provide, for the missions that we do. Our guys will be staying up all night tonight cooking those Boston butts, and that's a long, drawn out process, but the rewards are good. Good fellowship time. So that's kind of some stuff we do local. And I may have missed a few things and whatever, but statewide, I'm sure there's a few that I may miss, but we're part of an organization called Campers on Mission. And we go and serve at different places. So some of the places we go yearly is the Perry Fair, which just happened in October. Is it October, Ronnie? Yeah, October. And what the Campers on Mission do there is they simply just give water, give water away and share the gospel, as they have a booth set up, and they've been doing it for so many years now that folks know the water's there and it's free. And so they'll come, from across the fair and get a cup of water, and also get the gospel shared, through different things. Pamphlet, somebody just verbally shares, or there's posters and that kind of stuff. They always need volunteers. So, that's a place that if you be interested in getting involved, that's a ministry that needs some help. In fact, they almost canceled it this year because they couldn't get enough folks to help with that. And then Campers on Mission also, they do a work at a place called the Good Shepherd Riding Center, which is in Warm Springs, Georgia. And, they build a few campsites for the Campers on Mission to come in and clean up and just do maintenance there at that farm. And that farm provides help for teenage boys who are struggling with alcohol and drugs, and also handicapped children through a horse riding therapy. And I had no idea that was even a thing, that horses could help handicapped people, but it works, they say. So anyway, that's a farm that does a good work, but don't have enough help. So then that's some local and state stuff outside of Georgia. Disaster relief. We're part of disaster relief where, when something comes through, Henderson will talk about the Bahamas. That really wasn't a part of it. Was that disaster relief? It wasn't a part of what I'm talking about there, but that's the kind of stuff that we do. We go and cut trees, minister to folks, feed folks, just whatever there that can be needs to be done. Just serve, love on people. Montana. So this year we had the opportunity to go to Montana to help build a pastor's retreat. It's for pastors that are hurting or in need, and they can come and just refuel, have a time a week to come and be served. They don't have to do anything there. They can just rest and relax, and it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. It's up on a mountain, and you overlook a bunch of mountains and valleys. And so we're able to go work there and help build that retreat center for those pastors. I didn't realize this, but in Montana, there's only 10% Christian, 90% lost in the state of Montana. So anywhere you go there, is a witness. Yellowstone, out in that Wyoming area, it's just not many non-Christians. And we learned that they need camp posts in Yellowstone, probably the best place in the world to camp. In Yellowstone, they need camp posts. They need Christian camp posts. So if any of y'all are close to retirement and want to do that, they need help. So there's an opportunity there. And I wish Ronnie was a little closer to retirement. We'd head on out. So anyway, that's, Montana, disaster relief, Bryson City. I think some of you guys go to Bryson City. Is that right? I think I've talked to Ronnie Burkholder about that before. Some family stuff in Bryson City. Am I not talking to the right same ones? Same Nobody? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we go up there to a camp. It's called Camp Living Water, and it's a youth camp in a sense. Churches can either rent the place out, or the kids can come and go to the camp they provide, and we do maintenance there as well. Then Shelby, North Carolina, Henderson is a big part of that. Our association goes there once a year. I think twice this year we're going to go, and you know, sometimes the men put roofs on houses. The ladies clean. They do VBS in the housing projects. Just a number of things that go on there, and I'll let Henderson share more. He's kind of over that, so I'll let him share more about that. You know, Florida Hurricanes been there many times to assist people. Those folks have needs right then. And if you meet a physical need, a lot of times you can share the gospel where you may not could have. International. Can't read my writing here. So we have a guy in our church that does pastor training in Honduras, Ben Agee. And so we minister to Haiti. We can't go there anymore. It's become pretty dangerous. But we do send food. We're able to send food. And so far that's been that's worked. So there's a ministry need there. Dominican Republic, there's a place called the Holtz House. It's similar to a Boys and Girls Club what we have here. But it's for those kids. And sometimes the only meal those kids get is that they get to go there. And some of them live on the street. A lot of them live on the street, but on their own, and they're, 10, 12 years old. So really good place there to minister. Peru, in fact, we have three from our church going to Peru in February. So I'm going to tell you a little story about in Haiti and just how the Lord works. So we were in Haiti on an old school bus. It's always hot over there, and we had to make a five-hour trek across to South Haiti. We were going to be building a church there. And Haiti can be real dangerous, and we were on that bus. It was Sunday morning. We'd flown over there and got there, stayed Saturday night at the orphanage that we stayed at, and got Sunday morning to head down south. And Brother Jack was with us, our pastor, and he said, well, I'll preach on the bus on the way there. So he had been started preaching about 5 minutes, and we look up the road, and there's a mob. They'll do this. They'll just get in the streets and stop traffic. They might burn a car, whatever. But they were coming down the road, and it can be, they can turn buses over, whatever. They just do what they want to. And so, oh, my goodness. But anyway, he saw that, but he kept preaching. And I was like, well, come on, Brother Jack, a little bit concerned about this, But he knew what he was, the Lord laid it on his heart. So that mob kept coming, and we kept getting a little closer. And, y'all, we were the last. There was a way you could go right down by a ditch, and our bus was the last car that was able to get through that untouched. And that was just a work of the Lord, just being obedient and doing His will, hearing a sermon, and the Lord provided us a safe way there to get through and be safe. And we were able to do a great work there for those folks. The Bahamas, been there a couple of times, and Gene, and some of you others had the opportunity to go there with Henderson, and what a mighty work there. And I know Henderson will talk more about that church and all that's went on there. The harvest is plentiful. So we just need laborers, as has been said. So my challenge to you is we've talked about why do you go, where do you go, what do you do when you go. My challenge is just go. Just go, pray about it and go, and the Lord will lead and provide. So I just hope that was encouraging. Again, I'm not really a speaker, but that's what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart to share with you guys. And I do appreciate being able to come and share. So thank you.